Hi, welcome to the Badass Breastfeeding Podcast. This is Diane, your lactation consultant.
And I'm Abby, the Badass Breastfeeder, and today's episode is brought to you by Sarah's Chill. Their epic freezer storage system, the Milk Stash, is the solution to all freezer stash problems. And today's episode is also brought to you by Milk by Mom. With innovative freeze-drying technology, you can store and transport breast milk effortlessly without compromising its nutritional value. And we'll hear more from our sponsors later, but you can head to badassbreastfeedingpodcast.com, check out our sponsor page, see if you can give them any of your business, because they make this podcast possible. And while you're there, scroll down and enter your email address, and we'll send episodes straight to your inbox every week. And we are on Patreon. Please head to the show notes under this episode, wherever you're listening from. There will be a link at the top. Click that, select a tier, and you'll see all the cool benefits there, like our ad-free episodes and our mini podcasts and our Zoom hangouts with me and Diane. And shout out to Lena L, Rebecca G, and Rachel M for joining us there. We hope to see the rest of you there too. And we are still hosting our ongoing giveaway for people who leave reviews around the internet. It's just going on. So send us your screenshot and send us your address to badassbreastfeedingpodcast@gmail.com. And we'll send you a little goodie bag of stickers and empowerment cards. Thank you for nursing in public cards that you can pass around. And Diane has our review of the week.
And it says, I found this podcast a week or so into my breastfeeding journey with my first baby, and thank God I did. I was desperately Googling every little thing that happened or I was curious about, and the internet is a black abyss of conflicting information. Abby and Diane have an episode on everything, and I've been binge listening for the last 5 months. I refuse to Google things now. I even searched for lipase in their episodes because that came up, and sure enough, they had an episode to teach me what it is. They even referenced how random it was at the start of the episode, which I literally laughed out loud. I refer to every breastfeeder I know to this podcast because of these two. I feel like breastfeeding is the most normal or at least natural part of my life. Thank you, breasties.
Aw, breasties.
Breasties. I know. So she's been a 5 month listener. So thank you so much for that. And I'm so glad we were able to help you out of the black hole.
Is there anybody who's been listening from the beginning? That would be hard because that would be, how long has this been going on? A really long time.
Yeah, we do have some people that listen through their first baby and then are now on their second.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So probably listen through.
Or maybe somebody had a baby at the beginning and now is breastfeeding a small child.
Yeah, that's true. That would be amazing to know.
Yeah. Let us know.
Yeah, please let us know. And thank you for this. Thank you so much for this review. And I'm so glad that we're able to help you. And thank you for referring us out to other people because that's awesome too. Like
yeah.
That's share the love, you know, like it's helping people get more information. And that's why we started this podcast, to get information out there into the world for free.
Yes. I would really, really love it if people would just go to our website and put in the search bar, whatever you're looking for, and just listen to those episodes instead of Googling it.
Yeah, that would be nice.
Because
it would be awesome.
Get better information.
Yeah. I mean, and if we don't have the information, we'll find it, the information. We'll do the Googling for you. Let us be your Googlers.
Yeah.
Let us do it for you.
Yeah.
I wish I had somebody to Google my shit for me, because sometimes it really does get you going on a...
Yeah,
into a just a
rabbit hole.
Oh yeah, crazy. But today we're going to talk about misconceptions,
which is kind of like myths,
but these are a little bit different, and these come out of a book, so it's more of like, yeah, this is a little bit different than myths. I feel like the myths that we find are like ridiculous.
I know we find ones that are funny. Because, mm-hmm. or funny, or, you know, I mean, I think some of these things we've talked about on a miss episode, but yeah, sometimes our myths are just like, this is something that someone's doctor told them, which is like outrageous, and we have to share it.
Or that they've found on the internet.
Yeah.
But this will give you like an actual explanation. Whereas I think with the myths, we don't really talk about, well, we do explain it a little bit, I think. I haven't listened to any of our myths episodes in a long time.
We haven't done one in a while.
We haven't. No,
have we? I don't think so.
No, it's been a little while. But this is, these are just some different misconceptions that are out there. And the first one, the best way to tell that a baby is getting enough milk is that the baby sleeps for several hours after each feeding. Is
what?
It true?
I don't even like what?
Is it not true?
I don't even know. That's just like,
I know, but that's what people think that though. Well, is the baby sleeping? I've had people tell me that too, that they didn't think the baby was getting enough because the baby didn't go back to sleep. And it's like, well, your baby isn't just going to sleep and eat. You want them to be awake sometimes. Doing things.
Yeah, they're going to be awake.
Well, sleeping is not an indication of the baby receiving enough milk. The more calorically deprived a baby is, the more the baby may sleep. So it actually could be the reverse. So think about it that way. How many minds did I just blow?
The more calorically deprived. Or how many people did you just freak out?
Right, exactly.
Like, my baby's a really good sleeper. Is he starving to death?
That's not like the sign. The more a baby may sleep, parents need to watch for the number of wet diapers and bowel movements, the baby's disposition during and between feedings, and other growth indicators. So, wet and dirty diapers, like we're always telling people, it's so simple. It is really that simple. I never believed it was that simple. I remember my sister telling me, just look at the diapers. And I'm like, that is not enough. I need something more. I don't know. You'd think that's concrete enough to look at a diaper, but yeah, I felt like I needed something more than that. And you really don't. All you need to know is if your baby is pooping and peeing well, if you're changing a lot of diapers, your baby is getting enough to eat. Bottom line.
Yeah. I mean, it doesn't come out unless it went in.
Exactly. And sometimes people say, oh yeah, I change a diaper after every feeding. Well, that's a lot of diapers. That's a lot of diapers. So you know that they're getting enough to eat if that's the case. If you're changing a lot of diapers, your baby is getting enough to eat. It is important to wait at least 2 to 3 hours between feeding so the breast can refill and the baby does not use the mother as a pacifier.
Oh my God.
The breast is never empty. As the baby removes milk, the breast produces more milk. The shorter period between feeds, the higher the fat content of the milk. Waiting a specified period between feedings can decrease milk production and lessen the amount of fat the baby receives. Additionally, sucking is soothing to the baby. Babies should be pacified at the breast rather than a rubber nipple pacifier. The breast is for nurture in addition to nutrition. There's a lot there.
There's a lot to unpack there. Yeah.
So the breast is never empty.
Yeah. And waiting for the breast to fill up is like the worst possible thing you can do.
Right. I do have people that say that though.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah. And that's not a good idea. Mm-mm. Like, oh, if I just wait a little longer, then I'll pump more milk or the baby will get more. All you're doing is giving your body the signal that it doesn't need to make more milk because that milk isn't being used.
There are so many misconceptions about how your body makes milk and what happens with it. I mean, mm-hmm. I just, again, the other day I had somebody text me and say their pediatrician told them to pump after feeds to see how much milk they're making. Like, there is so much misconceptions behind feeds, your milk supply. It's just crazy.
Yeah. And like, some of this is very familiar to me from that formula marketing episode that we did a couple weeks ago, that some of these ideas were put into our heads generations and generations ago, and they became cultural norms. And they became just a normal way of thinking about our bodies and feeding babies. And none of it, it's wrong. And it helps the company make money.
Mm-hmm. It really does, you know, and then, but also if you think about it, if somebody says to you, well, pump afterwards to see how much milk you're making or pump to see how much milk you're making. Well, what's a good amount? Does anybody tell them what to watch for?
Just see how much.
to see how much. And then we'll tell you it's not enough. Like,
yeah.
Like, that's crazy. And then you're pumping after every feeding. Like, that's a lot to do. And then you're going to cause an oversupply.
I'm just going to say, then your body thinks that it's feeding two babies.
Right. Which brings a whole slew of other problems.
Yeah.
So if we just listen to our baby and feed on demand and give our baby what we, you know, I mean, whether it's every 2 to 3 hours, but then you get, you know, people, well, if your baby wants to feed every hour and a half at certain times of the day, then people are like, oh my God, I'm not making enough milk. Something's wrong. Why does my baby want to eat? It's not 2 hours yet. It's not 3 hours yet. If you're just feeding them on demand, which we always say, just feed on demand. All that means is you're just feeding your baby when they're showing you signs that they want to be fed. But people say, well, that's too much. You shouldn't be feeding your baby all that. Your baby shouldn't need to eat that frequently.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You can't win. And that's on purpose.
Right. The breast is not, is for nurture in addition to nutrition.
I love that.
That's a really important thing. It is. Yeah. That is really great.
And nutrition.
Because yeah, that's,
and I like how it says babies should be pacified at the breast.
Mm-hmm.
Babies should be. We say it like it's a bad thing. This is like literally what should be happening.
Yeah. And don't forget, babies are very primal, right? Babies don't know that you have stuff to do. Babies don't know that
they don't
you
care.
Have to go back to work. Like, this is not, they don't know that, and they don't care. At least they don't care.
They don't care.
They just need their parent all the time.
And for all kinds of things, for eating and everything else, is your breast does all of that. It's pretty fucking awesome.
Yeah. That you can take care of your baby with just your breast.
You are literally everything with just your breast. You are taking care of their whole entire feeding. From everything from feeding to solidifying their emotional, you know, availability in future adult relationships.
Mm-hmm.
Hello.
I mean, it's a lot. It is. It's so cool. It's a lot. And it feels overwhelming at times. And it's okay for you to feel like that, too. But it's what babies need.
Yeah.
You know, and they can't tell you what they need. It is. I mean, when babies get to be a little bit older, when they get to be talking and they can actually tell you their feelings, or they can tell you what they need, or they can, you can read them a little bit better with tantrums and whatnot, then it's like, it feels easier, right? Because it seems like, okay, now I know what they need. I can give it to them. It seems easier.
Yeah.
But when they're babies and they can't tell you and you're like, what do they need? We don't think to just keep putting them back on the breast.
Just put them on the breast. That's what they need.
Yeah, that usually is what they need.
Because it's just the answer for like 99 problems. I got 99 problems, and the breast solves all of them.
It really does. It absolutely does. Next misconception.
Do you want me to read some of these?
Oh, yeah, that's right. I sent them to you. Yeah. Totally forgot about that. Yes, read a couple.
It's not possible to make enough milk for more than one baby. Actually, most women can make far more milk than their baby requires and can regulate production to their singleton's needs. Exclusive breastfeeding of twins is common. Exclusive breastfeeding of triplets or higher order multiples, while posing a time and energy management challenge, is biologically feasible. Yeah, so it's all, and you know, to follow that logic, it's also possible to feed a baby off of one breast.
Yeah, it is.
Which is, I don't know if you, I remember like several years ago, I was talking to Nancy Moorbacher, who's a lactation consultant that in here in the area that I talk about sometimes. And she was telling me this whole story about like her, when she was born, by the time she was 3 years old, she had this like, indent, like her chest, what is this called? Like the chest breastbone.
Oh, the sternum?
Yeah. Was like indented. And by the time that she was like an adult, it was like almost indented all the way to her spine.
Oh my God.
And she didn't have her right breast never developed. And her heart was pushed all the way to the other side. And she, when she got to be like a young adult, she got a breast surgery to get another breast. And then, so she had that, whatever. And then fed all of her children off of her one breast. And after the next part of the story is just cool, has not to do with the feeding part. But then she went in for like a mammogram one day or something like that. And the woman is like, she says to the technician, like, I have a breast implant. She's like, yeah, I know. I saw that in your chart, but I can't find it. And it turned out the breast implant, yeah, the breast implant had sunk into like the cavity in her sternum, and she had grown a freaking real breast.
Oh my God, that's wild.
From like breastfeeding.
That is wild.
Like it started to make milk and it developed. Anyway, she's telling me the story and I was like, excuse me, but is this story like written anywhere? She's like, no, I never wrote about it. I'm like, okay, you need to write about it. And now it's on her blog. That and I like wild. To, I feel very proud that it's because of me. I was like, you hold on. This needs to be somewhere. But yeah, your body is like insane.
That is wild. You absolutely can feed. Yeah, you absolutely can feed off of one breast. And a lot of people don't realize that. You think you need both and you don't have to. You can feed off of one.
Yeah, meaning that you can make plenty of milk
mm-hmm.
for twins, triplets. And yeah, nursing triplets is like, that is literally just like time management issues.
Yeah.
I knew a woman who breastfed her triplets and there was a lot of pumping involved because then they would be doing like,
help.
She would breastfeed two, yeah, and her husband would bottle feed one and then they would like rotate at the next feeding and then she would nurse like, you know. It was kind of just like a rotation.
Yeah.
Sounds exhausting.
It does. And that's one of the things, like with my twins were exclusively breastfed, but I remember thinking like, because people were like, you're not going to breastfeed those twins, are you? Are you going to have enough milk? How do you know you have enough milk? And I was like, I'm not worried about milk. I'm worried about time in the day. Like that was really my bigger concern was how to make everything work in the time that was allotted to me and also having a 2-year-old.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was a lot. But I probably, thinking back, I probably had an oversupply because I remember pumping a lot of milk because I did pump like once a day. And I remember pumping large amounts of milk.
Oh.
And probably could have fed triplets.
Yeah.
But I didn't know at the time what a lot of milk was.
Right. Yeah. So, I know. We get those messages. Like, I used to pump 8 ounces of milk and now I'm only pumping 5. What's happening?
And I'm like, that's
like, oh my God.
To people like that, I'm always like, I know. I'm always like, you need to lose a little bit of that supply.
Yeah, exactly. You need to calm it down a little. You're going to end up with like infections and stuff.
I know. Yeah, it's crazy.
Okay. We should take a break.
Oh, shoot. Okay.
And be right back with more misconceptions. Let's see. Oh my God, my papers. Okay, sorry. Today's episode is brought to you by Sarah's Chill, a company that never stops making the lives of breastfeeding parents easier. Tons of expensive landfill plastic and short-term products are so yesterday. Created by a mom for moms, Sarah's Chill knows how important every ounce of breast milk is. Their epic freezer storage system, the Milk Stash, is the solution to all freezer stash problems. No more leaking bags, wasted milk, or crammed, disorganized freezer spaces. The Milk Stash freezes milk in perfectly portioned 1/2 ounce cubes. So you can easily defrost the exact amount of milk you need for a bottle without wasting an entire bag. It's space saving, it's easy to clean, and great for teething nets. The Milk Stash is FSA, HSA reimbursable and lasts a lifetime. Use it for frozen baby food purees, fruit-infused cubes, or jello shots for the block party after your journey is over. Or during your journey, as long as you've got other people there helping with the children. This is truly breast milk storage reimagined. Head over to sereschill.com, sereschill.com, or check them out on Instagram for more details. Use code BADASS for 15% off. Today's episode is also brought to you by Milk by Mom. For moms who know the importance of providing the very best for their babies, we're thrilled to introduce a game-changing solution. Milk by Mom is on a mission to modernize how we nourish breastfed infants, offering the convenience and flexibility of formula while preserving all the goodness of breast milk. With innovative freeze-drying technology, you can store and transport breast milk effortlessly without compromising its nutritional value. This movement, spearheaded by founder Tirza, is all about empowering breastfeeding mothers and educating parents on the incredible benefits of breast milk. Don't miss this opportunity to provide your baby with the best. Head to milkbymom.com. That's milkbymom.com and use code BADASS for 10% off your order. Your baby deserves the goodness of breast milk now with the convenience you need. Embrace the future of infant nutrition and join the movement at milkbymom.com. And today's sponsors and their promo codes can be found in our show notes under this episode at badassbreastfeedingpodcast.com or wherever you're listening from. And at badassbreastfeedingpodcast.com, you'll also find all of our other episodes and information about scheduling your very own one-on-one online lactation consultation with Diane. So, okay. Misconceptions. What's the next one? Here.
I got medication. It.
Meaning, right. What? Medication? Oh, yeah. Oh, okay. I just saw weaning and I'm like, oh, it's about weaning. No, it's the one. Weaning is recommended when mothers are taking medication. Most maternal use of medications does not require weaning. Refer to LactMed, InfantRisk.com, or the latest edition of Hale's Medications and Mother's Milk for specific drug information. These resources are also available on mobile apps. And like, there's so very few medications that you actually have to wean for.
And they're usually heavy duty stuff. Like you have a serious issue, like chemotherapy drugs or, right. You know, things like that.
Yeah.
HIV medications. But your average, I have a headache, I have a cold,
I have bipolar.
Exactly.
These medications.
I have depression, any of that stuff. Yeah.
You can search, you can look. I mean, do the research yourself because a lot of times doctors are just like, no, we don't, you know, no, you can't, because they just don't know. They literally don't know. They say it's not safe and they don't know. And there are medications. Sometimes there's preferred ones like, I can't even think of an example, but, you know, some antidepressant, they, you know, this brand seems to be, you know, best for lactation. And you can look at these resources and find this one and come go to your doctor with this information. And say, no, you need to educate yourself because this is safe. And you really should be taking the medication that you need to like live a fulfilling life.
And it's really, but people go, oh, well, it goes to the baby. It might go to the baby, but we have to look at how much of it goes to the baby. Is it enough to really make a difference? How old is the baby? Is the baby old enough that they're metabolizing just fine? Like there's a lot of variables that go into medication. It's not just like, oh, you're going to take this medication. Well, it's going to go to the baby. You can't. Is it a medication that they would give to infants anyway? Because there's a lot of medication that they give to infants. If infants are sick, if infants are compromised, you know, like there's a lot. So if it's something that they would give to an infant, can they give it to you? Can you take it? Absolutely. So you really need to look into it.
Guaranteed you took something much harder during labor.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. For sure.
You were like off your rocker. At least I was. Mm-hmm. My first delivery. I was high as a kite.
Yep. Yep. Absolutely.
And then I was like, oh, I don't want to take ibuprofen. Oh, no. I shouldn't take the ibuprofen. It might hurt my baby.
Nope.
No. Yeah. So we just don't stop and think about it sometimes. I didn't.
Yeah. No, it is so important to take care of yourself. It really is. Don't struggle. Don't suffer. Don't be like the martyr and have to, you know, no, I don't want to take that because it could go to my baby. It really, and I know we've talked about this in other episodes where we've talked about like medication and we've talked about like postpartum mood disorders and stuff like that, that people are like, I don't want to take this medication for anxiety because it could go to my baby and that will give me more anxiety. And it really just becomes this cycle. But take care of yourself. That's bottom line. You need to take care of yourself so you can take care of your baby.
Totally.
Don't struggle at all. And medications are really okay to use. But here, like I said, you know, there's things that you can look at. You can look at LactMed. You don't have to be a medical professional to look at things like LactMed or InfantRisk.com.
Infant Risk even has like a 1-800 number.
Oh, that's cool.
Well, you can call and just get information. And
so it'd
be nice to mention to your doctor, like, hey, there's this app. It's really easy to use. It's like the app that you've got for all the other medications.
Right.
They don't have all that memorized. They look it up.
Yeah. I mean, it's just...
But they don't go to the lengths to look this up because it just doesn't matter to them. They don't... Breastfeeding doesn't matter to them. They just think like, whatever, you just... It's not a big deal. Just wean.
And that's not necessary the majority of the time. Almost all the time. It's not necessary.
And it's, so condescending and it's so disrespectful to say that to somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Like your mental health doesn't matter. Which, by the way, the choice of feeding your baby is connected to your mental health.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So feedings, we're on to feedings. Breastfeeding requires more of the caregiver's time than bottle feeding. And here they're talking about rooming in, but let's talk about when you're not in the hospital, because rooming in is when you're in the hospital. Breastfeeding requires more of the caregiver's time than bottle feeding. Absolutely not. And there is research to show that that bottle feeding actually takes longer once your baby is an efficient breastfeeder. So we're talking once they're, you know, a couple weeks in, it's faster to nurse your baby than it is to make a bottle and bottle feed. And honestly, if you're paste feeding, if you're bottle feeding the way you should be bottle feeding, it should take as long as it does to breastfeed. So to say that bottle feeding is faster and easier is nonsense, because it should be taking as just as much time, if not longer. Then you add in how long it takes to prepare, which it should be,
exactly.
And to clean up, then you got to clean the bottles and everything too. To say that it's easier.
Who in their right mind would say that it's easier?
That's the whole reason why I decided to breastfeed. I tell people that all the time because I thought it would be easier. I didn't know. I was like, what kind of formula will I use? What if they don't like that formula? How much do I give? How do I know how much to give? How do I prepare it? What do I do with it? I'm like, that just sounds like too much work. Just seemed like way too much work.
Yeah, I don't know why anybody would say that it's less time. It doesn't make any sense to me.
It really doesn't. It really doesn't. Time at the breast needs to be limited in the early days to prevent nipple damage. Poor positioning is a major cause of nipple pain, not the amount of time a baby nurses. Babies need unlimited access to the breast. Early frequent feedings increase milk production. Time limits increase the incidence of jaundice, inadequate weight gain, engorgement, and low milk production. Bam. That's it.
I mean, yeah, that doesn't make any sense.
Time at the breast needs to be limited.
Yeah. I mean, well, I guess we say that about all kinds of things, right?
Yeah.
Schedule it, limit it.
I mean, if you have nipple damage, you need to see a lactation consultant. That's the bottom line. Not just, let me just feed less or let me pump instead. Sometimes if it's really damaging and pumping is not causing you pain, then we might do that while we're healing up the nipple and fixing the latch. But you shouldn't just, I mean, because I've had people that waited for weeks to see me or to see any lactation consultant because they had pain and they had nipple damage. They figured I'll just pump and heal it up a little bit and then put the baby back on the breast and then they're caused more damage. It's like, no, we need to fix the latch. Mm-hmm. That's the bottom line. You can't put all these band-aids on the whole situation. We need to fix the latch. to make that pain go away. And that's it. And if the your pain, if you're, we fix the latch, the nipples will heal, and the nipples will heal pretty quickly if you're not re-injuring them.
Right. Yeah.
Okay, you want to do the next
one? Yeah, sure. Most breastfeeding parents will experience nipple pain. There are typically brief moments of latch tenderness when breastfeeding begins. Nipples should be pain-free within a few minutes after latch and between feedings. This sensation disappears within a few days and does not interfere with breastfeeding. I mean, if you've got pain that's interfering with breastfeeding, something's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just like that. This is something that you hear a lot. It's just like, just deal with it. Breastfeeding hurts. You have to just push through the pain.
I hate that.
I hate that too. Don't push through any pain.
No.
Pain is literally, pain exists as a sign to you that something is wrong. That's why your body is wired to experience pain. To let you know something's wrong.
Right. And I don't know why everything else in the world, if you have pain, if there's pain, everybody's like, oh, yeah, that needs to be fixed or that needs to be. But when it comes to nipple pain, people are like, oh, yeah, you're breastfeeding, you're just going to have that pain. And then yeah, your nipples will toughen up. It'll go away. Just you're breastfeeding. Of course, it's painful. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, no, that's not the case.
I know. In any other circumstance, that like if anybody went into their doctor and was like, I'm experiencing pain, they'd be like, okay, pain relievers. Or what's going on?
Mm-hmm.
Immediate pain relievers while we figure out what's going on so that you're comfortable.
Breastfeeding? Nope.
Deal with it. Yeah.
That's a sign something is not right.
That's a sign something's wrong with your doctor.
And I've had people tell me that, like, and I tell people when I do breastfeeding classes, I'm always like, if you have pain that lasts through the entire feeding, that is a sign that there is something wrong. If somebody tells you that that's normal, because I've had people tell, like, their nurses in the hospital, I've got pain with breastfeeding, and have the nurses say to them, yes, you're going to have pain.
Yeah.
You're going to have pain in the hospital, or you're going to have pain with the baby breastfeeds. You should not have pain throughout that lasts throughout the feeding. That is a sign that there is something wrong. Don't let anybody tell you differently. If they tell you differently, they're not going to be able to help you.
Clearly, because your pain is not a problem.
Right. Your pain is not a problem for them. They're going to tell you that that's normal, which it's not.
Yeah. I mean, anybody okay with me being uncomfortable is like, I don't like it. Like, but I went to my doctor, who I actually really like and has helped me through a few things over the past several years. But like, I went to him about my knee pain when it first started happening. And he's like, well, you know, we just have ligaments down there that get kind of sore as you get older.
Oh, dear.
Well, after a year of suffering and finally going to other doctors, I have a torn meniscus.
Oh.
It's very clear on the MRI, and I actually saw a surgeon last week who was like, you have a torn meniscus. That's not going to heal. It's going to hurt until we fix it. And I'm like, thank you. And then people are like, do you want us to send this to your primary care doctor? And I'm like, no, he told me my ligaments were just sore. And they're like, oh, well, he doesn't need to be a part of this then. I'm like, yeah.
Oh my God.
Like, don't dismiss. I'm in pain. And I'm literally, right. it was at my physical, like my yearly physical.
Oh my God, that's so discouraging. How do you,
like, what? Stop brushing people off.
Anyway. So discouraging. It is so discouraging. It really is. Ugh. Breastfeeding doesn't need to start until the milk comes in. Colostrum is present. Yeah, I know, right?
Oh my God.
Colostrum is present from approximately the fourth month of pregnancy onward. It is the first milk and sustains a baby until full milk production is established. Healthcare providers should support breastfeeding within 1 hour of birth, followed by unrestricted feedings. That is something that is like, I don't want to say new, but I remember like when I was first doing this job and I was working for WIC, and we used to go up to the hospital to see parents. And I would go up, you know, like they would tell us when the babies were born or whatever. Sometimes I would have clients that I connected with that would tell me when the baby was born and would want me to come up right away. And I remember my mom would be like, how soon do these babies eat anyway? And I'm like, within an hour, usually. And she was like, I was like, really? Seems awfully soon. Because back in the day, they used to wait. And they didn't feed babies.
Yeah, within an hour. I feel like I remember that from the breastfeeding politics of breastfeeding book, where they would wait. They'd give them like sugar water or something, in the first few days. I'm actually flipping through the book trying to see if I can find it. But that's like a thing. Like, I feel like there's also different cultures that where there's like some sort of belief that the colostrum is not safe.
Yeah, and they don't feed the baby until the milk comes in.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Absolutely. But you don't have to. You have colostrum, which is what the babies need. Yeah. And then I read one time that like if animals don't get the colostrum, they're no good to farmers.
Oh, really?
Because they have to have the colostrum. Yeah, I've read that before too. That it's so important for the animals to have the colostrum.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's like the whole that's the whole beginning of like the immune system,
yeah,
being established, and like, I mean, that's if anything, get the colostrum.
Yeah, it's crazy. All right, should we do one more?
Is there only one more?
No, there's more than that, but we only have time for one more. Really, there's a lot more.
I don't think you gave me all of them then.
Yeah, no, there's more on the back. Okay, there's one more. I'll do it.
Okay, I can't find it.
Newborn babies typically need to eat every 4 hours. Breastfeeding babies may want to nurse as frequently as every 1 to 2 hours in the early days. Enforced scheduling of feedings ignores hunger cues and affects acquisition of the parenting role and parent self-efficacy. So we want the babies to eat more than every 4 hours. Obviously.
Yeah. I mean, that's the whole don't schedule the feedings thing. Breastfeeding demand.
But often if you're bottle feeding, if you're formula feeding, they're eating like every 4 hours. And that's because
you don't
want to
just
them
be
longer.
Feeding constantly.
Right. That you're feeding larger volume. So your baby is going larger amounts of time. What is helpful for babies because their stomachs are so small is smaller feeds frequently. That's what they do just naturally. It is unnatural to feed them large amounts and stretch it out over time. I mean, it just is.
Now, can you flip? What's the, just like read through them real quick.
Okay. Let me bring my book a little bit closer. After milk production is established, the baby will usually take most of the milk in the first 5 to 7 minutes. Healthy babies know when they are full and will detach from the breast satiated. There are multiple letdowns throughout a feeding, so the baby should be in charge of determining when the feeding ends. Each baby's breastfeeding pattern is different, and the baby should determine the end of the feeding rather than having an arbitrary time limit imposed. Yes. Sucking time should be limited on the first breast, so the baby will take the second breast. If the feeding ends on a breast before the baby receives hind milk, and this is kind of hind milk, foremilk thing is kind of junky. The baby may ingest large amounts of foremilk and develop colic-like behavior or poor weight gain. Babies should be allowed to end feeding on each breast on their own. Encouraging the baby to take the second breast after ending independently on the first breast stimulates milk production in both breasts. Formula. Infant formula is just as healthy as human milk. Cow's milk is healthiest for cows, just as human milk is healthiest for humans. Infant formula is inherently inferior to human milk for human babies. And we know that to be true.
Breastfeeding too many to read? Is it like endless?
No. Okay. There's only 2 for formula and then like 3 for supplementation.
Okay.
So breastfeeding is essentially an alternative to formula feeding. Breastfeeding is much more than delivery of human milk. It is a dynamic bonding process which reinforces the biological relationship between parents and their babies. Breastfeeding involves people, not simply infant food. Mm-hmm. And now there's just 3 more. I know, I like that. Bottles given to breastfeeding babies do not interfere with breastfeeding. An artificial nipple given to an infant in the early weeks of breastfeeding has the potential to create a preference for the artificial nipple. Bottles should be avoided until breastfeeding is well established. And that's usually only a couple of weeks. Water supplementation will help prevent or reduce jaundice in breastfeeding infants. A jaundiced baby needs... Jaundice baby needs the increased stooling facilitated by the child's consumption of colostrum. The correct response to jaundice is to increase the number of and effectiveness of feedings. Water supplementation can decrease the amount of breast milk a baby consumes, which can increase bilirubin levels and result in weight loss. Giving water reduces the baby's caloric consumption and ability to self-regulate intake. And the last one is formula supplementation is necessary when milk production is low. Most times, the solution to low milk production is to increase the frequency of feedings and ensure correct positioning and attachment. Additionally, formula exposes the infant to a greater risk of disease and sensitizes the child to cow's milk protein. Breastfeeding babies should receive no artificial baby milk unless medically indicated. And that's misconceptions.
That's good stuff.
It is,
Yeah, it is. Thanks for listening.
Thank you. Bye.